world-famous Phil Henry Show. Herb is in Pasadena, California. Herb Sewell joins us, and so you folks know, I mean, full disclosure, Herb, we cannot tell you where Herb works or where he lives because he is on parole, spent a number of years at a forensic hospital.
Phil, I think people have got it by now.
Phil has to legally disclaim it.
All right, that's fine, but God, hurry up, will you?
What? You're out driving right now.
Yes, I'm driving it off.
You drive it off.
Who's interviewing me, Dickman?
Take it easy, Herb, will you?
All right, but I'm a little bit upset with Percival coming to me and saying, do you want to do a puppet act? First of all, as you know, my parole officer would have to know about that.
Yes, I know, but this is, it was an adult puppet show, right?
Yes, this guy Percival heard me on Phil's show and thought that I would make for a good foil in his puppet show. And I was interested because I believe that from my frequent appearances on your program, Phil, that this might be an avenue to explore. The avenue of entertainment.
I think it sounds logical, Herb.
Well, thank you, Margaret. So I did, too.
So this guy Percival calls you up.
Yeah, so Bill Percival contacted me through an intermediary. And he basically asked, what do you think? Have you got anything against doing a puppet act? And, of course, my first, are you kidding? And he said, no, I'm serious. I said, well, who are you? He says,
yeah, been on public television.
He'd been on public television, yes.
Yeah, Bill Percival done a number of puppet shows down through the years.
All right, but he's not one of the Muppet people, is he?
I don't think so, no.
No, Bill Percival is his own sort of puppeteer. I think he uses those ones that, they're not Muppets, but they, it's the same type of,
Well, instead of, it's not a marionette.
No, they're not marionettes. They're like, they're similar to the Muppets in the way that they're used by the individuals. But Bill works alone, right?
Yeah, Bill Percival works alone. So so tell me about it. He said, well, I've got these puppets, and I'd love for you to interact with them. It's fun. It's funny. I said, well, funny, there's a great concept. Let me see what it's about, and so on and so forth. So I just came from his place where he put the puppet on. And
what do you mean he put the puppet on?
Well, one hand is a puppet hand and the other one's manipulating the puppet in the head, if you'll pardon me.
Yeah, it is kind of tough to say.
No, it's not tough to say, only if you're 14 and your brain works like a 14-year-old boy.
If you're 14 and you are a boy, then it would work that way.
You know what I'm saying.
All right, fine, Phil. God. So, he had his hand jammed up this thing's head. The other one's working, the other one's the hand.
All right, well, look, do we have to define puppetry? I think we know what we're talking about. So he's working the puppet.
He's working the puppet. So, and he said, well, here it is. He showed me some video clips of it. And then he said, well, I'll sit on set with you, and then I'll bring my puppeteers in, and they will work the puppet. I said, all right, fine. So he sat with me. We ran the camera. A couple of puppeteers came in. Well, the format for this is me, the human, and Bill is the bartender, and the other patrons are puppets. And we talk about the news of the day. And I was a little confused by it. I said, the news, what does that mean? He said, well, you'll see, Herb. I said, all right. I said, do I educate the pieces? In a way, you do. You educate the puppets, and you... And I said, so it's educational. He said, well, it's educational. There's also some comedy there. I said, all right, I can do comedy as far as it goes. My whole life is a comedy.
Well, that's looking at it kindly, Herb.
All right, Margaret, you're right. But the point I'm making...
So you sat down with these puppets, and you're going to sit and talk news with them.
Yes, and so it commenced... And as we went along, as the camera rolled, these puppets are asking me questions about the North Korean nuclear deal, and I didn't mind the subject matter. It was the familiarity the puppets had. Hey, Herb. Say, Herb, you do the... And suddenly I realized that I was being asked to talk to equals. You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
They were playing the parts of adult... These puppets were adults.
Yes, you could say they were adult puppets. But that wasn't so much, even if they were adults, if they were idiots. And I said, I stopped Bill. I thought I was going to be talking to blithering idiots. And he said, well, they're puppets, so that makes them dumb enough. I said, well, all things being equal, in a perfect world, yes, but this is the world of Bill Percival and his puppets. And you got puppets talking to me like I'm just another guy around here.
And you were offended by that.
I was decidedly offended by that.
All right, now let me ask you something, Herb.
Now, Phil, don't start telling me...
Yes, dear Mr. Sewell.
Don't, especially you, Dickman, don't start telling me that I'm overreacting.
Wait a minute. Just if you don't mind. It's a puppet show, so it's entertainment. So whatever makes it funny and whatever makes it compelling, and puppets talking like they're adults, in the right context, can be very, very funny.
It can be funny in the right, yes, in the right context. If you have a human who's an idiot... for instance, you could get on, I don't know who, you know, but just bring on some actor or some host or some comedian who would play the part of an idiot, and he could talk to it. But I'm Herb Sewell, and I am a research assistant, and you say what you will about my prison sentence, so I got to sit there and say, yeah, what's up, Charlie? And, well, hey, Herb, you know, I've been reading about, and then they're starting to give me crap. You know, hey, Herb, I've been reading about you. And you're a research assistant. Are you any good at... And I said cut. Yeah, I had to cut.
You're telling them to cut.
Yes, I did. I said, I need to cut. I said, is this thing going to be talking to me like that? They said, well, it's a human being that's operating the... I said, I know it is. They said, well, why are you looking at the puppet? I said, because I'm compelled to look at it.
Well, is this while the cameras are rolling?
Yeah, you're looking at the puppet while the cameras are rolling.
Yes, but this was when the cameras were off. I was still looking at it. And they said, why don't you talk to the guy that's manipulated the puppet? I said, because I can't yet make the connect. It's that. That's the thing that's given me a hard time. And that's the thing that, frankly, I want to take a screwdriver to its face.
Oh, my God. You were pissed off, weren't you?
I was a little bit pissed off, yes.
You know, Herb, those kinds of comments, take a screwdriver to its face, that's going to get you remanded back. You know, you're going to violate back.
Is that right? Well, you listen to Kojak over here. I'm going to violate back.
What does that mean?
Well, listen, I don't need a lot of legal prison talk, okay? I'm talking about being humiliated.
Herb, you're not being humiliated. You're in the middle of an entertainment. Have you ever done any kind of entertainment before?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. I did voices, and I did, you know, I entertained people there in the day room at the Tascadero. All the people that had to be wheeled to the window, and they'd open it and say, see, that's a day.
So the real sad cases, huh?
Yes, I was the guy that was designated, hey, Herb. Herb Sewell at 5 p.m. today in the day room, and they'd wheel in all the people that were catatonic, and it just sort of looked, they would stare at the wall, and I'd say, hey, it's Herb, it's time now to do, you know, and I'd do impressions. So,
No, but have you ever done anything professionally on television or radio?
Other than being on with Phil, no.
Okay, so what we're saying here is, don't you believe it's something that you should get a little bit more familiarity with, and don't be so offended that you're talking to a puppet that's your equal.
Well, where do they get off?
You're not, the puppet isn't doing it, it's the guy.
I know it's the guy that's manipulating the puppet, I understand that. But once the puppet begins, I'm looking at this thing that's got a big nose and two bulging eyeballs and sunglasses, and it's wearing a pork pie hat. I'm like, I don't know anybody in real life, but okay, let me talk to him. And this thing's telling me what a complete F-up I am, taking the Rams in the Super Bowl, all kinds of stuff. You know, hey, Herb, you know, what do you do all day long besides sitting there paddling it in front of a telephone? And
and that's what he's saying.
No, he's not saying that exactly.
So you're taking a lot of crap.
Yeah, taking crap from a puppet.
Yes, I'm taking crap from a puppet, and I'll go you one better. I don't like it. I don't think anybody would necessarily feel good about sitting there and taking, having endless buckets of you-know-what dumped on you.
Yeah, Mr. Sue, I don't understand you taking so personally as a puppet.
You know, Dickman...
Dumped a butt's making a good comment.
All right, you're making a good comment. Dickman, I dare you to sit there and have endless buckets of you-know-what dumped on you.
By a puppet?
Yes.
Herb, I think you need to go back to a Tascadero and have some more insulin shock.
How dare you?
Well, you're talking like an utter idiot right now. Do you know that?
Oh, my God. How am I talking like an idiot?
A puppet is not going to humiliate you. A puppet is a little, an entertainment device.
I know what a puppet is, Phil.
Right, but it's an entertainment device. You're supposed to play a role. And many times human beings are made the foil of puppets. Many times human beings are laughed at by puppets. It's part of the comedy of it.
It's part of the comedy. So Herb Sewell sits there and has endless...
Yes, endless buckets of shit dumped on him by a puppet.
All right, you said it, I didn't.
Okay, he said it, if you don't mind, General.
Well, he's just been dancing around it. All right, so You got endless buckets of you-know-what being dumped on you by a puppet. What do you say back to the puppet?
Now, there's a good question.
What do I say back to the puppet?
Yeah, so how do you respond?
Well, I talked to Bill. We caught it. I said, all right, this puppet, he said, it's Sally Draska. She's the one that's... I said, hi, Sally, I know it's you doing it, but...
You can't help but take it...
I'm taking it from a puppet. And so during the break in the scene, I asked the puppet...
Why are you asking the puppet?
Because that is how my mind was working. And I said, when do I get to give you a load? And the puppet says to me, you know, just kind of shrugged his shoulders and then went limp because Sally went off to get coffee. And I realized, well, she's not manipulated because the thing just collapsed in front of me. And I thought, maybe now I got it, you know?
Yeah, but she wasn't, wow.
Oh, okay, Phil, yeah, I know. I'm nuts. I'm cuckoo. You need to be in that. Have you ever worked with puppets, Henry?
Oh, it's Henry, is it?
Have you ever worked with puppets, Henry?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay.
Well, but Phil has been in entertainment and has played different roles and understands what it is to play the character. And the character that you're playing, Herb, is who?
I'm playing me. I'm playing Herb Sewell. How would I act if a puppet starts telling me how it is?
Oh, baby.
So you got a problem with that?
A little bit of a problem, yes. And I think anyone, any normal man with normal reactions, any normal functioning man with a man's needs, with a man's impulses, any normal man who has the normal appetites of a man would be offended by a puppet dumping buckets of you-know-what. What?
Any man with normal appetites, huh?
Oh, okay, so that's it. So I want to grab it and hunch it? I didn't say that, did I?
Well, then why are you talking that way?
Well, then why? Margaret.
All right, enough of that making fun of people's voices.
But you're saying you have normal appetite.
I've got the normal appetite. Forget that I said that, okay? What I'm trying to tell you is...
What did you say to Percival?
I said to him, I said, listen, we're going to have to even the playing field here. If these puppets are going to sit here and dump buckets of you-know-what on me, then I get to dump a bucket of you-know-what on them.
A bucket of crap.
No, I didn't say that. I said it would be... They're dumping... Let's be honest, all right? And if it gives you people a laugh, I would say to everyone listening... You know, consider the source. This, you'll find how Mr. Henry and his cohorts here find a man in distress to be actually funny. Okay?
Herb, that's the furthest thing from the truth.
Well, we'll see. Because what's happening to me is I'm sitting on set and I'm having puppet dung flung on me.
Puppet dung?
Yes, that's right. What are you trying to say?
Well, are you saying the puppets are going into their own night soil buckets?
Whatever, figuratively speaking, puppets don't actually take a dump. But figuratively, the puppet is reaching into its own night soil and throwing it on me. I don't know how to explain it.
Man, Mr. Sewell, maybe you need a vacation or something.
I've been on an extended vacation since I got out of a Tascadero. I do a little bit of work. I get paid really well.
So you want to throw your own dung on them?
Oh, it would be only fair. So if a puppet is going to rear back and throw a Sandy Koufax, Roger Clemens fastball of puppet dump... And hit me square in the face with it. Think about that, Phil. For just a moment, think about that.
Think about what?
Think about sitting there, being Herb Sewell and looking at the puppet and saying, well, aren't you a smartass? And the puppet goes back with that high Juan Marichal kick, comes overhand with a fastball, and hits me square in the face with puppet dump. Oh!
You know, Herb, you got a wild imagination.
It's not my imagination.
I think what I'm hearing here, Herb, is that you find yourself in a kind of subservient...
Yes.
A subservient position in this sketch, and you'd rather have a little bit more of the lead.
Exactly. I don't need to sit there. There's one puppet they have. It's called Grandpa Puppet, something like that. It's an old-timer puppet. And this one really, you know, I thought I had a good relationship with it.
Now, you realize, again, there's a human being working it.
I know that. But Grandpa Puppet's all, hey, I hear you're some kind of a nut, you know, and... And I said to Bill, now, we're not going to get into my prison. He said, no. But the grandpa puppet walks right up to the edge, leans in so that his body isn't touching the so-called line, but he leans in almost nose-to-nose with me and goes, oh, so you're the nut.
This is a puppet does this.
No, Phil, a member of the audience. Yes, a puppet does that.
Phil, are you listening?
Yes, I am.
All right, so, and I said, well, grandpa puppet, what's new today? He said, well, I got a speedball, a grandpa puppet dump for you. And he proceeds to ask me about the terms of my parole. And I said, cut. I said, how dare you, Bill? He says, no. he's going to say, oh, I bet you mistaken with somebody else. So we went back, and he goes, now, what are the terms of your parole? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of someone else. I forget who the character was, but it was someone in the news. I said, thank you, Grandpa Puppet. Otherwise, I was going to reach down into my pants. And then they yelled, cut. What? I'm talking about something that distresses me.
Right, Gotti. What do you think's going to happen?
Then they yelled, cut.
Yes, then they yelled.
Herb, I'd quit then. If it's causing you this much problem.
I'm going to quit. Phil, I'm not like you. I'm not some joker. I'm not some guy that does funny voices. I am an academician. Understand what I'm saying?
Learn.
Dickman, so help me God.
Academician. I understand, yes.
All right. This is what I've done my entire life. Bill Percival, nice guy, heard me on your show, thinks that I would be real ha-ha-ha-ha funny, talking to some puppet, telling me it's going to rear back with a speedball, a puppet dump? Man. So I said to Bill very nicely, you know, I appreciate that. Now, he wants to talk to me tomorrow.
Well, listen, just tell him it's not anything you want to do. Or you can say to him, I will come back and do this show, but not at the way that we're doing it. I don't want to be taken. I don't want to be in the receiving end of this satire.
Well, that's what I want to say.
But, you know, I'm very concerned, Herb.
You're very concerned. What?
Do you mind if I finish my statement?
Go ahead.
I'm very concerned, Herb, that you are somehow anthropomorphizing these puppets.
Well, isn't that an interesting word?
I went to college, thank you very much.
All right, sorry.
And you're talking to these puppets as if they're the ones intending these words, and you don't hold the humans accountable.
I don't know how to say it. It really, really irritates me to see something with a big giant nose and big shoes and these eyebols that go, goggling out, they're on springs, saying things like, so I hear you were inside for 8 years. And I'm like, you dirty stinking.
You didn't.
Well, that's what I was thinking. And what I said was, well, you know, we all make our mistakes. And then the puppet says, let's bring in Grandpa Puppet because he's got a speedball of Grandpa Dump.
They didn't say that, did they?
As God is my witness. He goes, take this, Herb. All I want to know are the terms of your parole. I said, how dare you? And then he said, no, I'm thinking of somebody else. And he brought up, I don't know who it was, Merle Haggard, who's dead. And
Merle Haggard?
Yeah, I brought up somebody that wouldn't be offended.
He brought up somebody that wouldn't be offended, but didn't care if you were offended.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say, okay?
I would simply say, Bill, this ain't your thing, man. You don't want to do it?
Bill, this ain't your thing. I fire him?
No, you're going to quit.
Oh, yeah.
I think that it's interesting, though, that they thought that you would be good for this. And if they could work out a proper script for you, that one that you wouldn't mind doing, I think you'd be very good at it.
I agree. I think you would, Herb. You got a decent sense of humor.
Yeah, I think so, Mr. Sewell.
Well, I think you know that, but you can't start wanting to strangle no puppet.
I don't want to strangle it.
And you can't start saying you're getting endless buckets of puppet dump. See, part of that, I think, is your, you know...
My mental illness? Is that where you're going to go with that, Phil?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah. You're going to sit here talking about puppets, dumping puppet shit all over you.
Yeah, but I get them back by...
Yes, by dumping Herb Sewell shit all over them.
Buckets of it. You understand that...
We got it. Buckets, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, okay. So, good luck with that, Herb. I don't know what to say to you other than, yeah.
Well, you guys gave me the advice that I've been giving myself. I'm going to walk in there tomorrow, and I'm going to tell them some things are going to change around here. That puppet right there, I hope that Grandpa puppet's there. Oh, man.
It ain't a real guy.
I know, but I'm... If the grand... I understand as a human doing it, but if the Grandpa puppet's there, I'm going to tell it. One more line from you about speedball and puppet shit.
Herb... Lay down or something.
I'm going to make a drink. You know what I got? I got some of that dirty martini stuff. Isn't that the olive juice?
Yeah.
You put the olive juice in what?
In vodka.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
That's a dirty martini.
All right. I'm going to make a dirty martini. Thank you very much. I just got home, and I'm just worn out. I'm just beat to hell.
All right, well, take it easy, man, okay? And we'll talk to you next time on the old show, okay?
All right, Phil. Thank you very much, everyone. This is Herb Sewell.
Sorry you feel that way. All right, Don Berman with us from Channel 19 News. He is hanging on the line. And we also have Herb Sewell is joining us. Herb Sewell from La Crescenta. And Herb, welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Herb.
Herb, we have this situation with Adrian Peterson. It's not funny when a man abuses his wife, okay? You would agree with that?
I absolutely do agree with it, yes.
And yet, Sewell, you were put in prison for it, weren't you?
Am I speaking with the general? Is that correct?
Yes, this is General Shaw.
Well, I thought it was a devil because you come out of the gate rather forcefully.
Yes, you better believe I do, Sue.
All right, General. There's no need to start World War II all over again, or if you will, another version of World War II. Perhaps it's World War III. Perhaps it's World War Z. You know, it's World War Z with the zombies. I would say this. No, there's nothing. And but what happened to me, I think, can be very easily explained, if I may.
Go ahead.
Hold on for a moment, Mr. Don Berman. Are you going to talk to this guy, Sewell?
Mr. Berman, this guy, I just want you to know I'm a big fan of yours, Herb Sewell.
That's fine. I don't understand what's going on here.
I just want to ask him a question.
All right, well, if you don't mind, the bagel, you know, Lender's Bagels just pulled up out front. I want to go out and get a bagel. I want to put some butter on it. I want to get something to eat. Is that all right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we're going to talk to you.
Well, all right, you're not talking to me, though. You're talking to this guy, Sewell.
Well, you see, Mr. Berman.
No, I'm talking to the host of the show, Sewell. Just back off.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Well, that means I go and have a bagel, and Sewell gets to talk his story about pushing his wife out of a car. God damn, man. You know, so next time, just do me a favor and lose my phone.
Is he hung up?
Yeah. You know, he's very sensitive, Phil.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry about his sensitivity. God.
Phil, you're better off without someone like that. Let me tell you that. I don't mean to tell you how to do your program.
All right, look at Sewell. Why don't you just tell us why you're on the program, okay?
What is it with you anyway, General?
I don't like the idea of you being on this show. Let me just be the guy that makes those decisions. So anyway, you're on the I-5 one night. How many years ago?
Well, I'd say right now it's about 16 years ago. I was on the I-5. I was with Haley and I was with the boys. And they were in the back seat, and Haley was sitting shotgun, obviously, and she was going on and on and on about some magazines that she'd found. And she was going on and on and on and on about Walter Belhaven had run up a long-distance bill on our home phone from Tascadero. Belhaven had been remanded to custody in Tascadero about the year before.
I want to be clear here. So your wife was upset with Walter Belhaven running a long-distance bill at your house. How does that work?
He was charging calls off to my number, all right? And you know, do I have to get into an argument here, Phil?
No, I want to find out. So Walter Belhaven is running up the long-distance bill at your house. What else?
Well, as I said, he had... there was some magazines she found... And they were, I suppose you could say, they were questionable in the view of an individual that is not familiar with the sporting world. These were wrestling magazines.
Jesus! Wrestling magazines! Everybody know what that means.
No, not everyone know what that mean, Mr. Gargoyle. Not everyone knows, you know.
But the gargoyle! Just let's not insult people, Herb, okay?
About everyone knows, but it was a wrestling magazine. Did it have pictures of younger men? Yes. Were the wrestling briefs tight? Yes. Did they feature photographs of young men being strangled? Technically, yes, but guess what? It's also called a wrestling hold. Oh!
All right.
Thank you. It's called a wrestling hold. You know, Margaret, I don't hear you saying anything.
Well, it depends on what the hold looks like. Is there a wrestling hold where you put your hands around a man's neck?
Maybe there is. Maybe they just invented one. How do I know? So my wife got upset. She's upset about Belhaven. She's upset about these wrestling magazines. She's upset about there was some explosives. Now, hold on for a minute, Phil, before you say anything. I had a little bit of gunpowder. Not even an explosive, it was gunpowder. Not dynamite, it was gunpowder. I had a little bit of that. And I had a pipe, you know, like a metal pipe. And
what? You know, let me ask you a question.
Can I finish? Because she's the one that started the issue on here.
You talking about a pipe bomb?
No, I'm not talking about a pipe bomb. I had a pipe, as in a smoking pipe. You understand?
All right. So you had gunpowder and you had a pipe.
Yes, because one of the things I did as a hobby was to refit and to fix old guns, old weapons. And I used to smoke a pipe while I did that. It looked very, actually very professorial. And there I am, puffing on a pipe, and fixing a gun, and all right, there's gunpowder. And the reason why the gunpowder was there was to make it look, if anyone were to walk in, as if I actually am the user of a weapon and not just some fancy Dan fixing guns because I think it makes me look special. You understand?
No, I don't understand. No, I don't.
Yeah, you're going to have to go a long way to explain that one, Sewell. That's weird.
Well, it may be weird to you.
You had a little thing of gunpowder. When you say a little, what do you mean gunpowder?
I mean gunpowder.
Was it a pile of it? Was it in a package?
It was in a can, a small canister of gunpowder. Just so if someone came in and said, oh, look at Herb Sewell, he thinks he's all this and a stale bag of Doritos, and he ain't none of that. Look, there's gunpowder. Maybe this guy is for real, you know.
No, I don't. That's the kookiest explanation.
Well, that's the explanation that I gave, and that was a truthful one. So there was all of this going on, and she's going la, 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 la with the big mouth. And I finally said to her, Haley, you can stay in the car and be quiet, or you can talk to the roadrunners and squirrels and the coyotes and all of those animals that are out there off of Interstate 5 as we go down the grapevine. What's it going to be? And she said, I'd rather talk to a dirty, filthy prairie dog than spend one more second looking at you. And that's when I reached over, opened up the car door, and kicked her out. And as she was going out, I could see the mouth still going. She was saying, why, you dirty, no good, Baba? And then she just went bouncing down the road.
You, I'm so thankful they put you in prison for that, and that they put you through electroshock, and they put you through insulin shock for that.
Thank you very much. You didn't have to live through that.
Well, it's a pretty extreme crime, kicking a woman out of a car.
Oh, come on. Nothing happened to her. She was fine. Because, you know, when I met her, she was working motion pictures. She was a stunt woman. You know that, don't you?
No, I did not know that.
What difference does it make if she was a stunt woman or not? You pushed her out of a moving car.
She rolled up into a ball, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw her bouncing down the road. It was a perfect way to... She's a stunt woman. What do you want from me?
So did you know, as a stunt woman, she'd be able to survive you pushing her out of the car?
I figured as much. I wasn't 100%, no.
And you had your sons in the car.
Yes, but they were playing whatever they were doing. They were doing tic-tac-toe. And they had on the headphones. They didn't see it. They didn't hear it. They all of a sudden pulled their headphones off. They said, where's Mom? And I said, she's out talking to coyotes. I don't know where she is. But I backed the car up to see if she was okay.
And was she okay?
Well, no. Not that much. Why are you people breaking my balls over this one? You're talking about spousal abuse.
Yeah, and you were guilty of extreme spousal abuse, pushing your wife out of a car because you figured she'll survive it because she's a stunt woman.
Jesus Christ. Boy, you take the cake, I'll tell you that much.
I take the cake. Let me tell you this much. She went into the hospital. If you want to know what happened to her, she had a few busted ribs. She had a dislocated shoulder, I think. She had some abrasions. But no sooner was she in the hospital for about 6 hours after she came out of the... They had her on the, you know, a little bit of medication because they had to reset the shoulder. As soon as she comes out of the she's on it again. Blah, 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 blah with the phone bill. And I thought, my God, I pushed this woman out of a moving car at 55, 60 miles an hour and she's still talking? So I can tell you that it was, who was it worse for, her or me? I say me. I say I'm the one that took it in the shorts.
Get Don Berman back on the line.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm not talking to you.
Why would he be talking to you? Can you get Don Berman back on the line?
Oh, so you're hanging up.
No, I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm going to talk to Don. There's nothing you can say, Herb, that's going to make this any better for you. It's a very aberrant and strange and violent act. And I don't care if she was a stunt woman and went bouncing down the road in the rearview mirror.
I saw her in the rearview mirror. She went bounding down the road like she was a plastic jug or something, you know. And when I backed the car up and I got out and I strolled around the back of the car. And there she was laying there, splayed out in the noonday sun. And I said, you happy? I said, are you getting a little conversation time in with the prairie dogs? And she said, if I told you what I was talking to the prairie dogs about, you would die from jealousy. And that's when I said, okay, fine. I got back in the car. I took off. I went down the highway, probably another 20 miles. We stopped at one of those pecan pie places. It's not a Stuckey's. They don't have those in California. But they had another one. I think it was called Bosselman. Some dump. But you know I love pecan pie, and the boys do too. I had a cup of coffee. We had 3 pieces of pecan pie.
I don't care what you did, man. Did you go back and pick up your wife?
Yes, but by the time we got back there, the ambulance was there, and the highway patrol was there, and I was arrested. Are you happy?
Yes, very happy. Very happy that you arrested and you went to prison for 8 years. Very happy.
Well, that has nothing to do with prison. That has nothing to do with me pushing my wife out of the car. That was...
Yeah, there's some of the magazines and some of the other things that you were involved in. All right, Herb, so we've gotten, you know, I would say the extreme end of spousal abuse from you.
What about this guy Rice? Are you trying to tell me he gets a pass?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I, the reason why I've got you on the show is to essentially illustrate to people that there are far worse things that are done between man and woman.
Oh, I see. So I'm the guy, wow, so I'm the guy that is the example of how much worse it can be than what Ray Rice did.
No, not necessarily, because I will tell you this. You know, you went to prison and what you did was wrong. What we're really talking about here is the punishment meted out. What if they'd come to you and said to you, say, a year into your sentence, they said, you know what, we got it wrong, we have to tack on another 5-10 years?
That's a good question.
What if they did what?
What if they came to you a couple of years into your sentence and said, we got the sentencing wrong, we have to tack on another 5 years?
I don't think there'd be one of those. Well, I shouldn't say, but there would probably there wouldn't be anyone left alive. I would have gone on a one-man natural-born killers. There would have been Mickey and there would have been a melding of Mickey and Mallory. It would have been Millery or Mac Mackey. I can't describe, Phil, how I would feel. I would take the.
All right, so there's Herb Sewell. That guy, you know, Phil, the longer you mess around with a guy like that on your show, they're going to find you kicked out of a car. You know that?
I agree, Phil. I think it's very dangerous.
Are you kidding me?
I don't have anything to do with the guy. That spent time at the forensic hospital in Atascadero for crimes against nature. I think that's the way you wanted it described, Herb, right?
That is exactly correct. I think, Phil, that for all concerned, you know, I think that's probably the best thing to do.
Now, Herb, when you say crimes against nature...
I didn't say crimes against nature. I'm saying that's probably...
We're talking about some pretty sick things, right?
Yes, General, that's correct.
I don't want to get a whole thing going between you and Herb Sewell, okay?
That's fine. I just want people to know that what this man did made me feel ill.
Well, I'm so sorry, General, that you lost your frosted flakes. You...
Hey, watch. Have a care, my friend.
Yes, I'll take that under advisement.
All right, Herb, so you, when you were on probation and on parole and all that shit, and you were working in halfway houses, were you not working at a fast food place?
Yes, with certain restrictions, I was working in fast food. I wasn't anywhere near the customers, although occasionally the customers would see me when I had to carry the slop jars. I am saying this, Phil, by the way. Anyone that knows me... this is very difficult to admit to the fact that I was carrying slop jars and wearing funny hats with a clown nose, all of these things.
You were not wearing a clown nose.
No, I wasn't, but you know what I'm saying. In other words, I had to dress the fast food uniform, carry out slop jars, carry out garbage, and the like. And it's a very humiliating kind of existence, particularly for an individual such as myself. Now, I will tell you that I'm a very, very good grill man. I'm a very good short order cook.
All right, look, Sewell, you know, you can get into your job credentials later on.
Wait, hold. Wait a minute, those aren't my job credentials. I am a research assistant.
Yeah, you stink, all right.
Have you ever seen me come through a phone? That you don't want to see.
All right, both of you guys. Let me do the interviewing, okay?
Well, I just...
I understand how you feel, General, but there, you know, Herb is entitled to his opinion and his statements.
Thank you very much, Margaret.
Right there, that's the part that gets me with that whole... I sure hope you use mouthwash.
You'll never know. You'll never get close enough to know, all right?
Suits me fine.
And me. Because...
Look at guys, the phone will get hung up and the show will come to an end permanently.
Jesus. Damn it, Sherry, how was that?
Permanently. If you guys don't shut up. Go ahead, Herb.
Thank you.
You were talking about the paper hats and taking the slop jars out.
Yes. Working in fast food in the United States of America, carrying slop jars, wearing these ridiculously creased hats with the little golden, funny-looking designs, so on and so forth. And I had to wear the funny-looking hat when I took the garbage out because you are seen by the public, and the public must see you. As representative,
representative of this fast food emporium that you work for. Now, I have no problem with much of this, but I was talking just before we went on the air, because I have your friend, Mr. Dozier.
Now, Fern Dozier.
His name is Vernon, not Fern.
Forgive me. Vernon Dozier does work some of these burger jobs, right?
Well, he has. And that's because America doesn't want to pay its teachers all that well. It is disgusting.
Now, that I agree with. I think it is an absolute disgrace.
Now, wait, hold on for a minute. Now you're getting your opinions in about the union.
This is about the union. This is about union people. This is about fast food workers finally getting their due. And,
Well, what makes you think you're the kind of guy... General, would you please quit making this personal?
Right there, Phil. Thank you. You're making this personal because you don't like me.
You got that right.
Well, this is not about me. It's about the fast food workers. Yes, I wore a clown hat.
All right, I understand what you're saying. And I agree that those people should be treated more fairly. As for you, though, I don't care if you carry slop jars till the earth ends, till time itself stands still, and you're the only one left holding two slop jars with a paper hat.
General, where are you going?
I'm going to take a walk.
You know, this is the problem, Phil, with all issues having to do with unions, all issues having to do with crime and punishment. The conservative cannot keep himself from becoming personal, insulting, reactionary, and so forth. And this is why nothing gets done in this country, because all the little mental the midgetry, as I believe it was that the general himself said, the mental midgetry, that takes place.
You know, Herb, you're getting longer and more long-winded with the whole, Right then, it sounded as if you almost hit two different notes.
Well, I can tell you, as I get older and I get more emotionally involved in a lot of these issues, my voice does change.
Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute.
What are you talking about?
I said, as I am searching for the right words, sometimes these utterances become...
See, I told you the guy was crackers.
I didn't need for you to tell me that, okay?
Oh, thank you very much for that, Phil.
Wait. Get Vernon on the phone.
Yeah, get Vernon on the phone, because it looks like the good old Herb, he's only good for so much, and I can't take it when Herb starts sounding like a mental midget. Thanks a lot, Phil. Shit.
All right, I'm sorry.
Herb Sewell is going to join us. And Herb, you know, I don't want you to tell us where you are, where you work, nothing like that. But you do work, you do research for a major university in Southern California. You work with the faculty there. And you see firsthand the pressure that students are under. You see firsthand the pressure that the administration is under. What is your first take on this scandal, this admission scandal?
You know, Phil, the idea... that parents would pay the kind of money they're paying to get their children into a major institution is not really surprising to me. But the grotesque and garish and outlandish way that this was done, where there's an actual a criminal enterprise that is facilitating this. You see what I'm saying? It's like, you realize they brought RICO. They brought RICO.
Yeah, the racketeer-influenced corrupt organization.
Exactly. They had to bring RICO charges against these the individuals that are facilitating...
Now, for people to understand this, they're helping kids...
Yeah, they're helping young people pass their SATs. In some instances, they're just going ahead and giving the SAT, a once-over and giving it a passing grade. In other instances, in the most outrageous instance, some of these parents are getting their children placed on football teams, on the crewing team.
Now, how does that, if a kid gets in and they say, yeah, we'll give your kid a place on the crew, what is crewing about? Is that, it's like rowboats. Like rowboats.
Yeah, well, it's competitive, General. It's like an Olympic sport.
All right, so you got some kid with the stick arms, and he's got no upper body strength, and he's on the crew team. How does that work?
Well, they just have him. They list him as a member of the team. This is not competing or anything. Understand that certainly you're not going to risk the standing of the school in the NC2. I thought, Phil, you joked on Twitter today, didn't you, about that?
Well, I said, yeah, if my parents had any money.
Oh, I saw it. You'd be on the fencing team.
Yeah, I was, you know.
So you have an interest in fencing?
No, I do not. No, I was just trying to find something funny.
No, but so you would, but however, you would be on the fencing team if your parents could afford that, right?
No. Yeah, well, I'm saying.
What are you saying, Phil?
I think what you're saying, Phil, is that you've admired fencing.
No, I'm just using that as an example. My understanding is Notre Dame is the top fencing school in all of America.
What are you talking about, man? Notre Dame plays football.
Yeah, that's my understanding. They play football.
They also have a fencing team.
You can do more than one thing well. And so you're saying you'd like to go to Notre Dame?
No, all I said on Twitter was that if my parents had money and influence, they could have had me Phil Henry fencing team. And then, just as an afterthought, Notre Dame.
You see, Notre Dame, I thought you were an SC fan. All right, I'm sorry.
All right, let's get back to this. So, Herb, what do you see any of this? Don't tell us the school that you're working at, but do you see evidence of this?
Oh, yeah. You see, I can tell you this much. As Phil was talking about orientation. You see it at orientation. You look into the eyes of some of these parents, and they have that sort of the need. You see the need on the faces of these people. They must have their child attend the prestigious university. They simply must. And they must have the child be on the rowing team. The prestige that goes along with having one of your, excuse me for saying this, but having one of your brats stink up the roster.
Well, let's not get, you know, insulting.
Well, Phil, I think it is insulting. There are a great many young people deserving of a college education, a great many parents deserving of some financial assistance in helping those young people realize their dream. And here you have moneyed individuals. Yes, I'll say it. Moneyed individuals who also happen to be Caucasian, or if you will, Caucasoid.
He's Caucasoid.
That is the technical term for the white. Is that right, Phil?
Yeah, whatever, man. They don't use it anymore, and I don't. Why are you breaking it down racially?
Because that's exactly what's going on. You've got the Caucasoids.
Can you just say white people?
All right, you have the white people, and they get the kid into the school. They pay enough money. The kid's not only in the school, the kid's now, well, there you go, the kid's on the fencing team, or the kid is, God knows what, he's in the twiddly, what do you call that sport?
What sport?
It's a tiddlywinks, that's it. It's a massively popular sport in some of the Ivy League schools. And
tiddlywinks is?
Yes, that's exactly correct. Boy, where you been?
Well, you know what? If I'm not up on the fact that tiddlywinks is big at the Ivy League schools, I don't think I'm missing out on too much.
Well, that's what you say. But the point that I am making is, if you want to have your child's name on the yearbook for USC, or another prestigious school would be, for instance, Stanford, Duke, Harvard, Yale, places like this.
What about, like, you know, my alma mater, which, well, I guess Fresno State?
You're kidding, right? Anyone can get into Fresno State. We're talking about...
No, not anyone can get into Fresno State.
Almost anyone can get into Fresno State.
Let's not have this argument. So you're talking about these really high, you know, these real prestigious schools.
That's what I'm not saying Fresno State's a bad school. Fresno State, by the way, is the home of Henry Ellard, one of Phil's favorite L.A. Rams, the wide receiver.
That's right, it was. And
all right, that's enough, Phil. I'm kidding around, but I need to get this. I got to get this going with this because I've got a couple of other classes I would deliver papers to. So I would say that this is a scandal, and it is one that affects the schools because now, you know, going to USC or going to Yale, who knows? It may be, you know, if I were a student, I wouldn't want to be seen dead. I wouldn't want my dead body discovered on the campus of the University of Southern California.
Why is that?
Because people would think, oh, here's another one that paid his way in. Here's another guy.
Well, that's hardly the case. Do you really fear that?
I don't want the smell of corruption hovering over me like so many of those fruit flies that just buzz around, you know. There you are. You're laying there. You're already beginning to stink. And here come the fruit flies.
All right. We get the image, Herb.
All right. But I wouldn't want to be found dead on the campus of Yale, Stanford, USC, because people will assume that you bought your ass.
You bought your ass onto the campus.
Yes. You purchased your own ass and then brought it onto the campus. And that's what I find to be
Well, it certainly is a it's a disappointing thing. Although I guess stuff like this comes along every now and again, doesn't it?
When?
Yeah, when did this come along?
Yeah, what were you talking about?
Well, you know, I guess I was thinking of the point shaving. I'm thinking more in terms of sports.
Oh, well, the point shaving, yeah. I mean, they had the thing in the 50s with those southern schools, yes. I suppose what you want to say is there's a scandal affecting the schools every now and again. The last one we had was this creep, what's his name?
Well, watch who you're calling a creep, and remember what...
Hey, General, I'll thank you to keep out of my beeswax, if you don't mind.
Well, you're calling Sandusky a creep.
That's what I'm calling. I'm calling it a creep, okay? I'm not in prison. It is. I'm not in prison. It is.
But you were in prison, Herb.
I was, but I'm not anymore. So guess what? Herb Sewell is out. I'm living the life of a free man. And Jerry Sandusky, his ass is parked inside a cage. Oh, shit.
All right, Herb, we're sorry.
Break my balls in me.
We're sorry, Herb.
Sorry. You know what? You know what? Sorry. You know how you spell sorry? S, two R's, a Y, and an O. Remember that.
Yeah, what about it?
What do you mean, what about it? That's how you spell sorry.
Okay, thanks so much, Herb.
You got it.
Herb Sewell from Points Unknown, giving us the lowdown on the... That wasn't any good either.
Yeah, we were trying to get to the bottom of things. Yeah.
But we didn't get to the bottom of Jack Squat.
On that. Get Herb Sewell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who is this guy?
You know Herb Sewell, don't you?
Yes. Okay, Herb Sewell. Yes, of course I know Herb Sewell, Phil, and I'm disappointed in the fact. I'm very, very disappointed in the fact that you would have him on, okay, because he is not what... He's not one of us.
All right, Herb Sewell joins me as... Dr. Jim Sadler, excuse me, is on the line in San Diego. Herb, how are you doing?
Hello, Phil.
Hey, Herb, hold on. Yeah, Dr. Sadler.
Yes, did you forget your goddamn name?
Hey, watch it, will you?
No, I didn't forget my goddamn name. Did you forget yours?
No, I know my name. You're sitting there exhorting all these people to speed. Are there children on bicycles around there?
Are there what?
Are there children on bicycles around there?
No, there are not children on bicycles around here. If there was, I would be exhorting them to go fast.
What do you think about that, Herb?
What do you mean, what does he think about that?
Well, you were brought on to talk about Phil doing the marathon, okay?
Yes, and I'm fully prepared to do that.
Well, here comes another car. Better get to...
Come on! You think I'm crazy because you don't understand.
I totally understand being obsessed with something. Don't worry about it. And I completely understand being angry. But Phil's trying to interview you about his two-day marathon.
Well, you know, Herb, Dr. Sadler says that as a young man, he never did make that green light. So he's exhorting. It feels good to see other people do it.
Well, now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that wonderful? What a thing to aspire to. What a thing to have locked deep in your heart. Something that you can say, you know, when I was a child, I was let down, but now look at all the victory.
Well, what's wrong with that? You know, Pete, we try to get our victories where we can get them.
Yeah, you can get...
Dr. Jim Sadler's with us, Herb Sewell is with us, and I can see this is a big mistake bringing you two guys on together.
Not a mistake at all.
No, I wouldn't say it's a mistake. I wouldn't say it's a mistake. Are you at the racetrack?
Yeah, what about it?
Oh, my God. Don't you know that they're closing down San Diego?
Hey, Phil, when you get a man, you give me a call, okay? Because I'm just not... Where'd he go?
What happened to him?
He hung up.
Well, call him back, man. I thought these guys aren't allowed to hang up. I guess we called him or something.
He slipped through the cracks. He's not a caller.
He's not a caller. He's a guest.
Hey, Phil, you know, I'm still here. I'm still a viable guest.
Yeah, yes, you are.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you'll do.
No, not you'll do.
Again.
Hey, I'm sorry to have to bother you, Herb, but you know, you do have an interview scheduled with us that I wanted you to go through with.
All right, but you're giving me a hard time at...
You're at Santa Anita, right?
So what?
Well, they've lost a lot of horses there. And Mr. Henry, you know, canceled an event there.
Yes, they have, and they're taking steps to protect the animals, and I need to relax. I want to go. This is one of the few places left for me to go where I can enjoy myself. There, and you're down there. What? You're giving me shit, and you're down there.
Watch the language, okay?
I'm sorry, but you're down there watching cars speed?
You know what? A car is not a living thing. And you can't... There's no such thing as cruelty to a car. Okay?
Yeah, well, yes, there is. When you sit in one.
Mr. Henry, I demand that he apologize for that.
I'd like you guys to act your age, if you don't mind.
I'd like him to apologize for that.
Herb, would you just knock it off, please?
I'm going to ask one more time, and then I'm going to hang up. I'm asking one more time for you to apologize that I'm hanging up.
Hey, Herb, I'm going to hang up.
All right, Christ almighty.
Well, what's your problem, man? What is your problem? You're giving me a hard time by being at Santa Anita, and there you are, watching the cars going fast.
We're talking here. Hold on. What is that feedback, bud?
What?
I'm hearing this bell ringing in the goddamn headphones.
Well, you know, you like those AKGs.
I like them, but I don't like them leaking like this, okay?
What are you... What language is it?
That's some kind of hip radio language.
I think it's the damn phone or something. We're talking here with Ted Bell. Excuse me. We're talking with Herb Sewell.
Ted Bell?
Herb Sewell.
Wait a minute. That's the call to post. Put 20 down. Yeah. Look at that. He's betting on the horses. A horse that'll die. You know? And you're waiting for some kid to get run over by a truck going 80.
No, I am not. I'm not waiting for that at all.
But you're looking at people illegally speeding. At least I'm out here at a fully sanctioned event where they're trying their very best to protect human beings.
Yeah, how about the horses? Oh, they're not doing that, are they?
All right. I'd like to thank both of you gentlemen.
Wait a minute, Phil. No problem. I can handle this. You know, just this, you know, liver lips that you got on here.
Liver lips? Because I happen to have a speech impediment?
Yeah, that was delivered to you by way of a cheetah when you tried to French kiss it. Isn't that true?
Well, even I can hear that feedback, Phil.
All right, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Oh, come on. Don't bust my ball.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, Phil, hello.
And we just want to talk. We're checking in with everybody today before I go on vacation.
Yes, I heard from Dickman and a couple of the other people that you were going on vacation. I said, well, I know that Phil goes on vacation. You don't often go out of town, though, do you?
No, I really don't. I think this is a...
And I understand it's for a young lady. And to my congratulations, I didn't hear that you were thusly involved.
Yeah, it's... Well, it happened...
No, that's fine. You don't have to give me the story. And it's not that I'm not interested, Phil. It's just that I don't... I like to hear about... what was the song, Margaret? Sunny Tufts, was it?
Sunny Tufts?
Well, who did the song Young Love?
Oh, yeah. Young Love.
Yeah, yeah, that's... But Young Love, First Love, Phil... And that's as far as it goes for me before I begin to itch and stumble around almost as if I have a blood poison. But,
all right, I get it. You don't want to really hear about, and I'm not going to, you know, put you through it, but I met her in Miami.
Oh, okay, that's right. This is the young lady, young Ms. Bales, right?
Yeah, I met her in Miami, and that was it. She was married at the time, and I was off doing my thing, and it was just a professional friendship. So I split, and...
It's going to take long, because I'm...
No, you can go now.
I'm kidding, Phil. Go ahead.
He's just breaking your you-know-whats, Phil.
I'm breaking your you-know-whats.
Phil, why don't you lighten up a little bit?
So, I had just come to a stoplight. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So we met in Miami and, you know, hit it off.
Did you have any relationship with her there in Miami?
No, she, as I said, she was married and,
Oh, all right.
And, then I went off to my life and she went off to hers, and all of a sudden we, met online again on Facebook and...
On Facebook. There you go, on Facebook. You know that Facebook... is where a lot of people are meeting people, and I'm saying this. I just wanted to. It seems to be a very good place to meet people.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
It, what do you think, Margaret?
What do you care, Herb?
Never mind.
Hey, Herb, take it easy, man. You know you're still, you know, in a little bit. You're still on probation, right?
What are you talking about?
Well, Herb, what do you mean? It's a great place to meet people.
I'm not talking about me. I just want to. Oh, forget it, man.
Hey, yeah, you gotta be careful, Mr. Sewells.
If you call me Sewells one more time, I've got Walter Belhaven on standby. He's on speed dial.
What are you talking about, man?
He's kidding.
I'm only kidding, Dickman.
Walter Belhaven on speed... By the way, do you speak to him at all?
Who?
Walter Belhaven.
Why would I speak to Walter Belhaven?
Well, you're always talking about being in touch with him.
Oh, I forget. You know, every 6 months or so, I'll pick the phone up and I'll call Atascadero and say, is Bellhaven Inn. It's a little joke that I have at the desk there, and I go, ding, ding, oh, let's go check, you know. But yes, Walter's fine. He's, you know, he's up there for good. He's never getting out.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought that he wasn't, because he's in a forensic facility, doesn't he have the opportunity to somehow get better?
Yeah. He'll get better enough so they put him in a real prison. That's how good he'll get. Now, Walter's got it pretty good. Bunny, you know, she stops in every week or two with some of her rabbit. You know, she makes a wonderful Welsh rabbit. And
some of her rabbit? You're kidding me.
What's so weird about that?
I don't know. I just... where's he from?
You know, the less you ask about Walter, the better he likes it, because we'll get back to him that you're asking questions.
Never mind. All right, Herb, so where are you going, by the way?
What are you asking all these questions for?
Herb, we just want to know. We're being friendly.
All right, I'm going over to the liquor store.
You're going to the liquor store?
Yeah. What about it?
We just picking up a bottle of hooch or a...
I'm getting some red eye. A little red wine, you know, and sit back and watch television tonight.
All right, and how's the career?
It's going fine, as good as it can go, but getting a little boring living in a halfway house. You know, I'd like to bust out, you know, and find my own digs eventually.
Well, how long are you going to be in that halfway house?
I don't know, another year or something, but...
All right, well, Herb, I'm out of here. I'm going to Miami.
Oh, that reminds me. So you're going to Miami, so you're not going to be available next week. We're having the barbecue, as you know. It's the annual barbecue that Bunny Bellhaven puts off.
The one that is Walter and all those guys?
Well, no, Walter won't be there because all the guys that are still inside won't be there, but there's going to be some of the other people from the neighborhood.
This is Bunny Bellhaven's.
Yeah, it's Bunny Bellhaven's.
All right, I'll try to make it. Phil, you're not going to be hanging out with those people.
Oh, well, rather.
Well, what do you think, Herb? You want Phil going over to hanging out with a bunch of criminals?
Did I say criminals? These are academicians, hello. People that I work with.
Dad, sorry, Mr. Sewell, we didn't know.
Well, sorry, we thought these were the guys you were in the joint with.
In the joint? I was never in the joint. I was in a hospital. I was in the forensic hospital.
All right, well, if these people are cool, yeah, I'll be there.
Oh, because you don't mix it up with cons, huh?
Hey, Herb, you know, I got my, I have my life, too, okay?
All right, sorry.
So you let us know when that is.
Yeah, I'll leave a message with your secretary.
You know, Herb, you're very, very argumentative, and you're being a real smartass, and you're not being very kind today, and maybe Phil shouldn't go to your barbecue.
Well, like it's your decision, huh?
My decision?
I got a little nervous there.
Well, you know, she's right if you're going to keep busting everybody's chops.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, we'll advise him then.
We'll advise him to go.
Thank you.